Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 2:39 p.m. and that is May 9th. And I thought we'd kick off with the yield curve spread. It was inverted approximately a month ago, or I guess 6 weeks ago. And since then, it's jumped back up to about 45 basis points. This isn't all that dissimilar, I should say, compared to what happened in 2019. We had a brief inversion, then it jumped back up again. Then it's usually when after an inversion, and you start to see the yield curve spread surging higher. Well, that's usually when you get the most pressure on stock markets. So the inversion's a lead indicator, and then you get the monetary action from central banks that generally starts to alert people to slowing growth and the need for further stimulus, and that the contraction is getting ahead of the further stimulus. So when we think about it in those terms, well, the Nasdaq is continuing to pull back. Now we're in a bit of a chicken and egg scenario, because the Nasdaq pulling back is because of growth deteriorating, and not just growth in the economy, but also the growth sector. We have now got a discount rate. 10-year yields are up to 3 and a bit percent. Now, the yield today was a little bit softer. So there's at least some demand for bonds around 3% when the stock market is pulling back in such a dynamic fashion. Now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is more of a blue chip index with dividend paying stocks, was also in negative territory. It is quite interesting that investors still want to buy the dip. We've seen plenty of instances throughout this day where it came down to 3,200 and then bounced by 300 or 400 points. But we're back on the lower side of that range heading into the close. So this is still a bearish environment. We have to look at longer term charts to get a real idea of what this looks like, because we have failed upside breaks a longer range. Then we have resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average, and it's breaking lower. This is a type 2 top formation with right-hand extension. The Nasdaq is well on its way to unwinding its overbought condition relative to the 1,000-day moving average. And in fact, it's now only about 900 points away from it. It could conceivably do it this week. But we're unlikely to see a meaningful low found until we see central banks relenting from raising rates and tightening liquidity. And the continued strength of the dollar is sucking liquidity out of the global economy. So the dollar index is right at the upper side of its range and was pretty much unchanged in here today. But it's not breaking down either. So we're seeing very significant deleveraging, and people are clearly moving to cash. And there's a clear risk that an increasing number of countries are going to experience recession type activity. This is especially true in Europe, and most particularly true then also for the UK because of floating rate mortgages and high energy prices. But those high energy prices may not last. And oil prices were down in a very dynamic manner in here today, down $7. So this is clearly confirming continued resistance in the region of the succession of lower rally highs since the peak in early March. And Saudi Arabia cut prices to China in here today. You had Li Keqiang on Friday speaking about the rising number of people that are unemployed and the unemployment rate up in excess of 5%. And trying to tell people that they shouldn't avoid economic activity despite the very stringent lockdowns that are being imposed in both Shanghai and Beijing. The harsh reality is that the Omicron and the BA.1.2 variants are exceptionally transmissible. So it's very difficult to deploy a COVID zero policy. And obviously, this is something that's going to weigh on Chinese growth. So the H share index in Hong Kong was also in negative territory. Now it's coming back down to test the most recent higher reaction low. And we're probably going to have an answer tomorrow whether that low is going to hold. And if it fails to hold, well, then that's going to open up the potential that we're going to take an additional leg lower, because support building depends on demand coming in at successively higher levels. And China is rapidly devaluing their currency. And that's, I think, more of a response to Japan devaluing the yen than any other single factor. So this devaluation of the renminbi is obviously aimed at supporting the export sector, but Japan's yen has been going down in a more aggressive manner for longer, and it's a little bit steadier in here today. But they're certainly not going to avoid continuing to depress bond yields, and that's a very expensive prospect. So Japan is basically the only country around that is still printing. China needs to print more, but is politically inhibited from doing so. Then you have the EU, which has significant inflationary issues, and then also has geographical proximity to the Ukraine and a deteriorating environment with Russia. But growth is starting to sap demand for commodities. Natural gas had a downside key day reversal Friday, followed through on the downside in here today, and down over a dollar. So this is a meaningful pullback, and it's looking increasingly likely that natural gas may not be able to hold this breakout. So this is a very dynamic move overall, and suggests that there's significant liquidation of long positions going on right now. Then copper prices had been testing the sequence of higher reaction lows and then broke downwards in here today. So had or broke downwards last week, extended the decline in here today. This has type 2 top formation characteristics. So we have the failed upside breaks, the longer range, and the massive reaction against the prevailing trend. And this is a very common characteristic to a lot of trends that we have out there right now. So there's the realistic possibility that we are already starting to see some of the deflationary forces coming through from the contraction of central bank balance sheets. The significant strength in the dollar has already shaved in excess of $2 trillion off of the global total balance. And that's before quantitative tightening even begins. It's not going to begin until the beginning of June. We generally see a much more volatile stock market environment when this index is going down. And at the present time, it's trending down. But what we also are starting to see is some stress coming to bear on the high yield sector. So the high yield ETF generally tends to trade like equity. With the weakness in the equity markets, high yield spreads are starting to rally. The spread is well in excess of 400 basis points right now, and the ETF is accelerating on the downside. Now, accelerations are trend endings. So it's important to bear in mind what exactly is going on. And in order for trends to accelerate, the news has to be seen to be getting progressively worse. So inflation is the primary reason that central banks are raising rates and snuffing out liquidity. If growth starts to become an issue, then that's going to inhibit their ability to act, which is why the pound was so weak last week, because that's exactly what the Bank of England said, that they don't feel they're going to be empowered to continue to raise rates because of the threat to growth. But the inflationary pressures aren't just going to dissipate overnight. So we also have to bear in mind that what's going on in China is going to have knock-on effects for the global economy. Because if economic growth is moderating there, then they have the potential to export deflationary forces. And also, so if China is buying fewer commodities, commodity price inflation will become less problematic. If China's growth moderates, then it's going to have a knock-on effect for regional markets. At the same time, if we start to see China not performing, then it's going to encourage other central banks to start to ease up. So what happens around the world in terms of liquidity provision is going to have knock-on effects everywhere. But the big question is not so much about how much of a pullback we've had in bonds, but rather when bonds start to rally, where will the rally peter out? Because the total return on 10-year treasuries has now clearly broken downwards, and it's encountering resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average. It's below the 1,000-day moving average for the first time ever. If it now encounters resistance in the region of that 1,000-day moving average, that is the end of a secular trend. It's too early yet to make that determination with confidence, but the breakdown is enough to pay attention to. Now, when we think about what's going on around the world in terms of currency, well, gold prices were not spared the pullback. And what Russia has been doing in terms of trying to support its currency with gold and trying to create a link between gold and oil. These are significant events, and gold prices are right in the region of the 200-day moving average on the upper side of the underlying range. So, if they're going to find support, this is where that should happen. But Russia has been allowing the ruble to appreciate, and the dollar has also been appreciating. To a greater or lesser extent, this is representative of competitive currency appreciation, that the USA is directly attempting to pressure Russia by allowing the dollar to appreciate and thereby sucking liquidity away from competing economies. Now, if that sounds like a conspiracy theory, the reality is that since the war in Ukraine started, the dollar has done nothing but rise. And this is definitely having a knock-on effect for asset prices. The ability of the USA to continue to live on borrowed money is very much dependent on the willingness of the global community to fund it. And the strength of the dollar is certainly a major factor in the willingness of the global community to continue to support the dollar as the reserve currency. Now, obviously, there are lots of other factors at play, and it's a very difficult global environment that we're living in. And there's definitely a broad corrective phase underway. Now, there are obviously some companies that are prospering while others are pulling back. Now, Apple is right in the region of its succession of higher reaction lows, and it's going to have to bounce and do so in an emphatic fashion if it's going to avoid the kind of fate that companies like Amazon and Google have had. Amazon has clearly broken downwards. We have a Type 3 top formation, a first step below the peak, and now an additional massive reaction against the prevailing trend. It's back below the 1,000-day moving average for the first time in years. And the big challenge for these types of companies is when we think about Google, like Google's an incredibly inspiring company. They've invested in all manner of R&D, and it makes the argument that it's a cheap company because there are so many other things you get by buying the search and advertising revenue. But the problem is that 10 years ago, Google really had the advertising to itself. Now it's broken downwards, and this is a really quite significant deterioration. And even when we put it up on a log scale chart, then the size of the pullback is meaningful, and it certainly looks like a clear possibility that it's going to revert back down to the 1,000-day moving average. The reality is that despite the fact that valuation has improved, it's got a lot more competition for ad spend right now. Facebook is another company that's totally dependent on ad spend. So their transition to Meta hasn't been greeted with or a welcome sign from the global community of investors, and the share has deteriorated meaningfully. But relative to where it's traded in the past, we're still at reasonably high levels. Now, Amazon has also decided that it wants in on the advertising cake, and it's charging its sellers are charging them for advertising in order to gain preferential listings or positions on listings. So that's additional ad spend. Now, companies only have so much ad spend, so that is splitting the cake between an increasingly large number of companies, and they can't all possibly have the same. So this is cutting into their business models. And of course, one of the reasons that Netflix has been selling off is because they also want part of this ad spend. So advertising has been the answer to growth and revenue for these large companies. And it's so well understood now that everybody wants the same thing. But in a contracting market environment, there just isn't the same quantity of money available in the first place, and there are more people with their hands out for that ad spend. So this is obviously weighing on these sectors. Now, it's not like we're going to see companies like Amazon and Google or Microsoft disappear. But they have been trading on exceptionally rich valuations. So there's clear potential that we're going to move into a more deep corrective phase and a lengthier process of consolidation. And this is on the assumption that the discount rate is going to be somewhere lower than 3%. I think that bonds have sold off exceptionally aggressively. So I was willing to buy the TLT a couple or 10 days ago because I thought that the lows were close. Yields popped above 3%, so I thought then that it wasn't worth holding on. But nonetheless, we're still in a very deep oversold condition. And with commodity prices starting to come back down, and economic growth moderating, and a number of countries that are at risk of recession, and Germany, of course, is also one of those, and not least because it relies heavily on exports to places like China and to Russia. So these are obviously significant factors, and I think the commodity shock that we've seen over the last year is moderating. So natural gas prices have broken downwards now in Europe, and they're coming back down really rather quickly. If natural gas is deteriorating, anything that has got even remotely close to an commodity weighting is also likely to experience downward pressure. And obviously, a lot of people have been very worried about availability of food. So, one factor is about the price and the speculative interest in commodities. So, palm oil hasn't really broken out to new highs despite the export ban in Indonesia. Wheat prices haven't broken out, despite the clear threat of a weak harvest, and they were in negative territory in here today. So a lot of the strength that we've had has been about speculative interest rather than acute shortages. Now, it doesn't mean that acute shortages won't be a problem later. The availability of commodities and the price of the commodities aren't exactly the same thing. And it's quite likely that some people will be going hungry at some point later this year. But then it's all going to be down to how prolific are crops and how successful are countries going to be in harvesting those crops. One thing that was clear from Vladimir Putin's speech today is that there were no surprises. They simply are going to keep on going on. And that's also a source of trouble, but not new trouble. And we're in a rather delicate situation right now because stock markets are weak, bond yields are rising, there's a clear threat of higher rates. Every other time we've had these kinds of conditions, central banks have relented and they've provided additional liquidity. And I suspect we're not going to have a meaningful low until we start to see central banks providing additional liquidity. They might yet do that if they start to see commodity prices coming down and some of the inflationary pressures moderating, but we're probably not there just yet. And short-term oversold conditions increase the potential for meaningful rebounds. But we would definitely need to see bond yields trending lower in order to support the return of growth. Instead, I think that we've had a phenomenal 14 years of growth, and it's much more likely that we're going to have different sectors doing better in the next portion of this cycle. There's a lot of technology has been fully priced in. So now we need to see that developed, and we need to see productivity growth enhanced by those pieces of technology like artificial intelligence and deep learning. But the promise has already been priced into the respective shares. The promise of cloud computing has been priced into the respective shares. And then the promise of biotech has clearly been priced in. Now the question is, are we going to see the realization of some of these promises? And with a higher discount rate, the urgency to deliver commercial solutions is obviously more urgent. So the outlook for bonds is going to be particularly relevant for all sectors. And most particularly, the dollar is going to be very much the outlook or affect the outlook for international markets. Emerging markets in particular do best when the dollar is weak because money flows out into the global economy. And that suggests that the dollar will have to roll over before lots of money flow into emerging markets. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today and I'll wish all the best to all of you.